I appreciate the indulgence. I just thought it would be helpful for us to just raise some fundamental questions in the light of things that we've already discussed this morning, and without going through in detail at this stage, just to indicate how the Rail Working Group looks at these proposals. Firstly, I suppose three concerns that I feel that this provision needs to deal with. We're talking about Article 7. Firstly, as the Secretariat has explained very well, the UN ECE has a role that extends beyond Europe. It is in many cases the custodian of worldwide conventions and agreements. And we have this slightly ambivalent situation where, of course, these model rules are intended to operate worldwide, not just in Europe. But of course, not all states, and certainly not all ratifying states of the Luxembourg Protocol, are or ever will be members of the UN ECE. And I'm concerned that we can reconcile those positions. It's really important, for example, that South Africa, if it goes forward to ratify the protocol, should feel that its voice is given equal weight in discussions of revisions of these rules as compared to the UN ECE member states. Otherwise, they will feel perhaps that they are being treated as second-class members, and that is absolutely contrary, certainly to our view, and contrary to what I hope is the view of the group. So I think at least at the revisions committee level, and I can't comment on the working party, but at the revisions committee level, we have to have a mechanism, it seems to me, to allow UN ECE non-members to have an equal voice and to participate either through experts that they nominate or other government representatives in the revisions committee, particularly where that state has adopted the Luxembourg Protocol. I'm not quite sure how we do that. I have some ideas, and maybe we will discuss this in more detail later in this session. But I just want to flag that as I see it, it's quite a fundamental issue that we need to deal with. The second point that I also want to make is that it is really important that the industry specialists are involved in the operation of the revisions committee. And it won't surprise you, and I can tell you from the outset, Mr. Chair, that our preference for various reasons is option one, because we think that the industry has to be able to tell the working party what works and how it works. And the last thing we want is to have a set of rules that does not work in practice in the industry. Our view is that the involvement of experts from the outset, and in that regard, option one looks to us the best option, is a critical element on making sure that these rules and the revision of these rules works as efficiently as possible and as effectively as possible. And I think that the restriction of the membership to states that have either adopted the Luxembourg Protocol or indeed declare that they accept the model rules. There's no actual provision for states to accept the model rules. It's for individual parties. I don't think that really helps us, particularly because we will have a number of states that, for example, have signed the protocol, are working towards ratification, and we would also want to involve them in the process as well. So for various reasons, we think option one is the right way forward. The third point I want to make is that we need to have some sort of mechanism that in certain circumstances, the rules can be changed quickly. If we discover that there's something which is causing a major problem, honestly, we can't have a situation where the revisions committee and then the working party only are able to adapt the rules in the space of maybe 1 or 2 years, where we may need to have an immediate resolution of a particular problem. We've had to deal with that also in the regulations, in the way that the International Registry operates. And the general view there, as I understand it, is that in an emergency, if things are requiring a pretty immediate change, then there should be some scope for some sort of process whereby interim measures can be adopted pending signing off by the working party. I fully agree and understand that the working party has to bless any revisions, but I would strongly argue that at least the revisions committee itself has the ability, if necessary, if the circumstances require it, to introduce emergency changes to the rules before any long-term permanent change to the rules. I also want to point out that as I mentioned before, that in Article 8, we have also envisaged a role for the revisions committee, both in terms of providing guidance as one of its areas of work, and secondly, to, if necessary, to be able to appoint an arbitration panel if there are particular issues that need to be resolved. And I know that when the Secretariat was preparing its note, they may not necessarily have taken those requirements into consideration, but I do suggest that they are taken into consideration, obviously, as long as the group itself accepts that there is a role for the revisions committee as set out now in the draft in Article 8. So I really just want to make those sort of, if you like, outline points without going into great detail. But I, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think they are hopefully quite important points that we need to take into account as we refine the rules. Thank you.